What's a DVD again? From Marketplace. I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Believe it or not, you can still rent DVDs from Netflix by mail. For the million or so subscribers who already know this, time is running out. Netflix plans to shut down its DVD business at the end of September. Marketplace's Nova Sappho joins me now to talk about it. Hi, Nova.
Good morning, Sabri.
So it seems pretty obvious why Netflix would do this, but why would they do this now?
Yeah, I mean, how many people still have DVD players, right? I mean, I do, but I don't know of a lot of other people who do. Do you have one, Sabri?
I do not.
Well, there you go, right? I mean, no wonder then that Netflix split off its DVD business in 2011. It still had about 16 million subscribers back then. That number has been dwindling. So your question, why end that business now? Well, the company is trying to focus on extracting more money from its streaming subscriber base. Right now, that totals more than 230 million worldwide. Netflix wants more people to pay for those streaming subscriptions instead of sharing passwords, or to get more people into its lower cost ad supported tier, which Netflix executives see as a growth area.
Yeah, how are they doing with that password crackdown, asking for a friend?
Right. Well, it's going slow. It's only in a few countries right now, including Canada and parts of Europe. And in its latest quarterly results reported yesterday, Netflix said it added nearly 2 million subscribers in the first 3 months of the year. So they're making progress. But the company is behind schedule on the password thing. It was supposed to have imposed the crackdown in the U.S. by now. It hasn't. Netflix says it's fine-tuning it and that it will start sometime this quarter in the U.S. So basically anytime between now and the end of June, Sabri.
Okay, Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You got it.
The world is officially in a semiconductor subsidy race. Semiconductors as in microchips, everything from refrigerators to cars, you find them. The U.S. passed a $200 billion CHIPS Act, with about $78 billion going towards semiconductor production. China already subsidized its chips producers and is now working on a $145 billion support package for them, according to Reuters. And now, Europe has entered the ring. The European CHIPS Act would offer nearly $50 billion for investment in and production of advanced microchips. EU Parliament member Dan Nika, speaking at a press conference in Strasbourg, France, said the plan would make the trading bloc more resilient.
In a situation where there is a crisis like the one we experienced last year with the war in Ukraine, we'll be able to ensure a minimum level of the chips production in the European Union, and also to work very closely with like-minded partners.
Last year, the World Trade Organization, the OECD, the IMF, and the World Bank issued a joint report arguing that the increasing use of subsidies was distorting trade and investment flows. One more number for you. Sales in China of what are called new energy vehicles, mostly electric vehicles, are set to reach 9 million this year, about a third of total auto sales. That's according to Nikkei. In the U.S., electric vehicles make up about 6% of new car sales. Shares of Chinese EV maker BYD closed up 0.2% yesterday.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Indiana is one of 10 states that specifically prohibits undocumented college students from paying in-state tuition. That means an undocumented student in that state could pay nearly $17,000 more per year in tuition than their peers. WFYI's Elizabeth Gabriel reports from Indianapolis.
Rene Contreras was born in Mexico, but spent much of her childhood in Indianapolis. She's undocumented, and Contreras didn't know how she was going to pay for college when she graduated high school last year.
You kind of have to navigate that on your own, which is like pretty scary. So a lot of students just kind of feel unmotivated and feel like there's not any opportunities for me. So why even try?
Contreras is among tens of thousands of undocumented students across the U.S. who are ineligible for in-state college tuition. To be clear, these students are not part of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. That's because DACA recipients can receive in-state tuition in many states, including Indiana, but not students like Contreras. The DACA program was paused before she could apply.
To find scholarships that work for you as an undocumented student, it is a lot more of hard work to do because a lot of them require proof of citizenship or at least DACA.
Rachel Santos directs education policy for the Indiana Latino Institute. She says a lot of undocumented students opt for private institutions.
Because private institutions can offer more scholarships because they're not restricted to the federal funds.
Opening up access to in-state tuition could lead to more college graduates in general.
Okay. All right.
In Indiana, State Representative Earl Harris says his state needs that.
More people that we can get into university, into college, continue their education, the better it will be, not only for that individual, but it'll be better for our businesses, it'll be better for our state.
Harris wants Indiana to join the more than 20 states that have a law specifically allowing undocumented students to pay in-state tuition. So far, his fellow lawmakers haven't gone for that. Rene Contreras decided to enroll in community college. She hopes to transfer to a four-year school to pursue a degree in political science.
I'm still deciding because I feel like I have to keep my options open. There's not a lot of room to dream.
In order for her dream to become a reality, Contreras says she needs lawmakers to decide that undocumented students like her can get in-state tuition. I'm Elizabeth Gabriel for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.